We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got tried to stop us, but the bride of Jesus, she's still alive. Like a mighty army, she keeps marching onward, winning every battle, for the Lord's on her side. Dressed in garments white and regal free, I have no earthly love that I'm holding to. You're the one who means everything to me. I will sing, I will worship you, I will bow myself down high. Lift it up.
God bless you and good evening. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of being here once again. For it's by your grace and your mercy, Lord, that you've gathered us for another service, Lord. God, may it not be a traditional gathering, a point on a calendar, an obligation, a ritual, or a routine. God, may it be more than that to us, Lord. May it be an opportunity to worship you with our brothers and sisters. An opportunity to hear your word preached, Lord. And may you come now by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and pick this gift up and use it for your glory. May you break the bread of life, Lord, and may we eat from your hand as our great shepherd, Lord. And as your sheep, Lord, may you feed us yourself. God, we're so privileged to be here. We count it a great blessing. We thank you, God. We pray that you would have preeminence among us and say and do whatever you desire to say and do. Help us to grow, Lord, to be more like you. Day by day, may we manifest you in this life. Have your way. Be glorified in the service this evening, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And God bless you. While we're standing, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21. At the end of service, we're going to have a baptism this evening, so praise God. Peter Brooks desires to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we're excited for him and for his family and for Brother Bob, because Brother Bob, his grandpa, has the honors of doing the baptism, so it's a special privilege for him, and so we're excited for the whole family, so it'll be right after the service. Also want to let you know that the fellowship hall is now open, so this Sunday for the communion service, if you'd like to do like we've done in the past, if you want to go out and get a lunch and bring it back, or you want to pack a lunch for your family and bring it, the fellowship hall will be open and the tables will be open in there, and feel free to use that. Kitchen's not completely done yet, but the fellowship hall is open and we can use that for communion. So may the Lord bless us next week, or Sunday, in that. Let's look at Revelation 21, verse 6 as we begin. 21 and 6. I'm going to read verse 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And may the Lord add blessing to the reading of the word as you take your seats. We read this verse from Sunday, and I want to continue just a little bit with that thought and move on from there. But we know that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And the prophet of God told us overcoming is not when everything is done for us and when God pushes us into a tube and pulls us out the other side and he did it all and we say we overcome. You didn't overcome. There was nothing to overcome. But yet there's things in life, obstacles in life and situations, and we have free choice, and God wants us to choose his word. And in choosing the word, we're overcoming. Amen. And if we are overcoming in the age that we live in by the word, then we get the reward of the overcomers, amen? And so we talked about that through the church ages in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. All the reward to the overcomer in each age are available to us if we'll overcome in our age. So let's look at Revelation chapter 12. We're going to read another portion of scripture in Revelation 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And we know that this scene takes place at the rapture of the bride. When the bride goes up, Satan comes down, and he incarnates as Superman, and then becomes the beast. So we know the transition that's taking place here, and it's important to know as we move on in the scriptures. And in verse 10, it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Who is they? The brethren, amen? The ones that he was accusing. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen. If you're going to be an overcomer, there's something that you get to do as part of the overcoming. Amen. The blood of the Lamb was shed for you. You had nothing to do with that. Amen. That was done in God's mind before the foundation of the world. It was manifest 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And the blood of the Lamb was shed for you on your behalf for your redemption. Amen. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and... and the word of their testimony, amen? And if we want the promise that comes to the overcomer, amen, then we must recognize the blood that was shed for us. God did that for us, amen? That was the Lamb of God, the Son of God, that shed his own blood for us, for our redemption. That was done for us. Now what do I do, amen? And we must overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. They were willing to surrender all. Death to self, a complete surrender. No more me, but all of him. Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I'd like to take out of this portion of scripture for a title, for a text, our testimony, and then also the Father's business. We're going to get to that later. Our testimony, and then the Father's business. This word testimony that we read here in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This word testimony, it comes from a root word that we'll get to in a few minutes, but it means a testifying. The office committed to the prophets of testifying concerning future events, and also one who testifies testimony before a judge. So this testimony is not just saying, God is good and you know, he created all things and everything's wonderful, but it's actually a witness, amen, giving a witness as before a judge, or testifying that your testimony now is standing in judgment, amen? So they overcame him not just by whimsical saying good, positive things, but they actually were giving a testimony before a judgment seat, and they were testifying of the word, and they were overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. So, you know, I think the devil was being judged by the testimony of these witnesses. Let's go to the book of Acts. I want to pick up this root word here in Acts chapter 1. This word testimony in chapter 11 comes from a root word which we're going to read here in Acts chapter 1, and it'll help us get the meaning of this. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. There it is. This is the root word that testimony, their testimony is taken from. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. So Christ is telling them, you're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what was the enduing of power supposed to do? The enduing of power was to turn them into witnesses for him. That's what the power of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost does. Amen. It makes you a witness of the life of Jesus Christ. It makes you a witness of the revelation of the word for your day. And now you can overcome by your testimony. Amen. Because now you're witnessing of his life, because his life now is in you. So he said, you shall be witnesses. This word witnesses in the Greek, it means a witness, simply a witness in a legal sense or historical sense, somebody that is a witness to something. And so the Christ was going to give the power shall come upon you, amen, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power that you can be these witnesses. So how did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. There's a principle that the prophet of God lays down that I just want to touch on as we move through these scriptures. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That word profession means confession, and he's the high priest of our confession or our profession. Let's look over at chapter 4, verse 14. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And here's what the prophet says about these scriptures. He says, now remember, every redemptive blessing has already been purchased. The price is paid. There's only one way that you'll ever be able to receive it is to believe it and accept it. He's the high priest of our confession. The Hebrew says here, the Hebrew letter says he's the high priest of our profession. To profess and confess is the same thing, of course. He's the high priest of our confession. Therefore, we cannot do anything for us until first we confess that he has done it. And then when we confess it, then he is the high priest, a mediator, to go to work on that and make it right. So we pray, trusting in God tonight, in his kindness and mercy, that he will give to us his abundance of grace tonight. And now remember, you must accept it. The book of Proverbs, verse 18, I'm just going to quote the scripture to you. Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So there's something that God is asking us to do, to be a witness and witness in word and witness in life, to give a true witness and a true testimony in the day and age in which we live. And it's part of our overcoming, amen? And part of this overcoming of the brethren is the very thing that caused the casting down of Satan out of heaven into the earth. And it's because there's a people, amen, who will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But we have a high priest, amen? He's a high priest that'll be faithful to our profession. And that means, Brother Branham says it this way. Let me pick it up here in this other quote. He says, and then they go testifying, making their testimony ring out. And you can be the high priest. And you can be the high priest, Brother Branham's praying. And you are the high priest of their profession now, when they can truly from their heart believe that you have did the work. We know as far as the work itself is already finished, but to appropriate faith to believe, all things are possible to them believe. He also says in the message, perseverance. Notice now, when Jesus was here on earth, he made the sacrifice for healing and for salvation. Do you believe that? Jesus could not come tonight and save you. He has already done it. The sin question was settled. He is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. He was wounded for our transgression. With his stripes we were healed. It is past tense. No matter how much you would scream out and how much you would could scream out, that wouldn't do a bit of good until you accept it. And he is the high priest sitting at the right hand of majesty on high to make intercession in our profession. You've got to accept it and profess it. That's correct. Same way by healing. So he's the high priest of our profession, but if we have no testimony, no profession, there's nothing for him to go to work on and bring to pass in our lives. So if they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, there has to be a testimony coming forth, amen, that is bringing Christ on the scene to empower that testimony to bring it past. And if there's a testimony that'll be, you know, the final voice in the final age and the final part of the Gentile bride, she has to have a word of testimony that'll bring him down, amen? There has to be a power, amen, given to her to be a witness of the word that's given to us in this day, not repeating from previous ages. The previous ages had the word for their day, amen, that would give them the power to overcome in that day, amen. But the word has been growing and been growing and growing, and it's growing until there'll be a people on the earth that have a testimony that'll be the final overcoming of that devil, amen. But it's not going to be secret believers who hide out secretly and say, I believe in all that. And it's not going to be repeating what worked in previous dispensations, in previous church ages. Amen. Because that had victory in that day, but yet he's still there as the accuser of the brethren. So there has to be a climbing of this testimony, a climbing of this witnessing of the word, until it climbs and it climbs and it climbs. And Christ is there constantly as the high priest of the profession of the believers, bringing it to pass, bringing it to pass, bringing it to pass. Amen. And now we know why in this end time he sent a prophet of God to restore the word to us, because it's going to take a full measure of the revelation of the word to bring a full victory in this day. It's not the day of partial word didn't bring the full victory, but the day of the full word, amen, there'll be a people on the earth that will believe that word in the fullness of its power, and they will express it in life, they will express it in word, they will express it in action, there'll be a true testimony of the word in this day, and he'll be the high priest of their profession. And it will have the attendant effect, for they will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you look at this scripture, the Apostle Paul is actually speaking of two sides of salvation. First, a man must believe in his heart, but he must confess with his mouth. The believing in your heart, that is a gift from God. By grace are we saved through faith, and that is a gift of God. And not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. So the ability to believe the word is a gift of God. Amen. So the fact that we can believe the word is a gift of God. But Paul doesn't leave it there. Amen. There was two parts to what Paul was saying. That man shall believeth, amen, but he shall speaketh. Let's read it again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's not just speaking without actual faith in the heart. That won't get anywhere. But saying I believe in my heart with no positive confession, that doesn't get anywhere either. But when the heart and the confession match, amen, Paul is saying that's salvation. Amen. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. This goes right to the revelation that we read. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There has to be a witness that's been empowered by the Holy Ghost. Not empowered by the Holy Ghost just for selfish reasons and for whatever purposes we want, but to be a witness. That's why this power has come. Because it's in this testimony that Lucifer is going to lose his position. The devil's going to be cast down. Let's go to Revelation chapter 10 now. Because the question is, what are we going to witness? You're going to witness what everything's been witnessed before, what helped Lucifer over, or what helped Luther overcome, and what helped Wesley overcome, and what helped the Pentecostals overcome. Yeah, that's part of that, but there's more. There's building up into the full measure of Christ, into the headship of Christ. Amen. And victory keeps growing and growing and growing as the word grows until we come to complete victory. Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. The scripture is so important to us because it's the day and age we live in. The seventh angel has come. Amen. The prophet of God has come. And the mystery of God has been finished. Amen. And there's been the opening of the seven seals. The seven thunders have sounded. And the mystery that is laying in the whole book has been revealed. But God doesn't leave it there. That wasn't the ending, amen, of God's work here in Revelation chapter 10, because we go to Revelation chapter 8. And it says, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." So we all know that John is a type of the bride, and now this mighty angel is Christ, and he's come down with an open book, and he's thundered out seven thunders. He roars as a lion roars, and seven thunders sounded their voices. And John was told to write it not. Don't write that, but seal it up to the time of the end. So at the end time, whatever those seven thunders uttered has to be revealed at the end time. And as it's revealed, amen, it's unlocking the mystery of the Bible. And as it unlocks the mystery of the Bible, it is unlocking the revelation that was laying under the seals, the revelation that contained the entire Bible, which is the mystery of God. And the mystery of God was laying under those seals. Amen. And Christ comes with an open book in his hand, and he roars, and seven thunders utter. But there's going to come a time when there's a seventh angel on the earth. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God shall be finished. Amen. There'll be the revelation of the seven thunders. Amen. And after the revelation of the seven thunders go and the seventh angel's ministry, amen, then there's going to be an opportunity for John, the bride, to go to that angel Christ and say, "Give me that book," amen, the open book, not the closed book, not the one that's been sealed away, amen, for seven church ages, not the one that's been lost under creeds and dogmas of man, but the one that's been restored back and opened up and the seals peeled off. Give me that book, amen. Now that it's open to do what? It's open to reveal the mystery of God. Not just a bunch of details, not a bunch of facts and figures, but that book opened to reveal the mystery of God. What was this mystery through the whole Bible? What was it all about? What was God's plan? Why did God do everything he did in creation? Why did he make things the way he did? Why the fall? Why the trees? Why everything? That's the mystery laying underneath the seals. And the open book contains the mystery of God. And now, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he sounds, the mystery of God's complete. Now there's instructions that are given to the bride. Now you go to that Christ, the angel of the covenant, Christ. And John goes to him and says, "Give me the book." He says, "Take it and eat it up. Take it and devour it. Take it and become one with it. Take it into your person. Feed on it. Become one with it. Take it inside of you." Amen. Don't hold it. Don't show it to others. Don't use it as something to brag about. Amen. Don't say, "I got the book. I got the book." Amen. Take it inside of you. Amen. Feed on it and become one with the book. Amen. And as you feed on it, it'll be sweet. As the revelations are coming, it is sweet. Amen. But when you go to testify, when you go to live, amen, what this book has revealed, then you're going to find rejection, and you're going to find difficulty, and you're going to find all kinds of horrible things. It's going to be bitter in your belly as you digest this revelation and as this revelation becomes your life. Verse 10, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And if this people will faithfully take the open book and feed on the open book and become one with the open book, and then go to prophesy again before many nations and kings and tongues and peoples, amen, they are going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, amen? This very act, amen, Revelations 10, amen, has produced, amen, has brought to us the open book and given us access to the title deed of all redemption. And he's brought it back to us through a prophetic ministry. And he's brought the truth of the whole Bible back to a people so that the people can take that into themselves and become one with this revelation, one with God. Amen. To do what? To testify again. To declare the truth, to speak it out, to speak it in every nation, in every tongue, to every kindred, to speak it before kings, to speak it before all. Why? Because they will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You realize we're not feeding on reheated doctrine from previous church ages. That doctrine gave victory in that day, but that day's not this day. And as everything grows, amen, Christ is growing and the body is growing into the head, which is Christ. But as Christ is growing, the kingdom of Satan is growing and deception is growing, amen. And so there's got to be a word to overcome, amen. And as everything's growing, you can't rely on the word that worked before because the kingdom of Satan is growing. You need a word here. So God, through a prophet in this day, has brought us a capstone word, amen, so that there can be a final victory, amen, so that she can be the final voice in the final age, so that there can be a final testimony which will bring a final victory, and the Satan will be cast down. But the only way Satan's going to be cast down is if they overcome him. Is that what the scripture says? They overcome him. That means if the bride is not faithful to Revelation chapter 10, verse 8 to 11, then his position stays secure, amen. But this word came, amen, to disrupt, amen, to remove, amen, to cast down the accuser of the brethren. Because he's accusing the brethren because the word was obscure and churches and creeds and denominations have taken the word of God and diced it into 1,000 pieces and made parts of it obscure and reinterpreted and retranslated and changed the word until the people don't even know what the truth is anymore. And he's sitting there as the accuser of the brethren, saying they're off the word there, and they're off the word there, and they're off the word there, and you must judge it here, and you must judge it there, and you must judge it here. So God in his day, he said, I'm going to take the seals off, and I'm going to show the whole thing, what's been going on through these church ages, what happened, amen, through the dark ages, what the Reformation's been all about, because I want my people to know the truth, because the truth shall make you free. So God has brought a truth, and that truth will make us free. Amen. That true testimony will cast down the accuser of the brethren. That's why we have to keep moving into this revelation, feeding on this book, speaking this word, keeping it pure, bringing it, giving it the way it was brought to us. Amen. Because this is our victory. Amen. Our victory is not having a bigger church or a nice meeting or more dynamic this or more powerful this or great big programs. That's what the denominations did, and it's failed. We're not here to have a better Sunday school. We're not here to have a better church. We're not here to have a better program. We're here to keep this testimony pure because it's the testimony in conjunction with the blood of the Lamb that gives us victory. And the devil's always trying to distract us with something else, but it's the word that's been restored. It's the revelation of the word in this hour that is giving us the victory. That's what we should be testifying. That's what we should be feeding on. That's what we should be thinking about, talking about, amen, driving into, praying for more revelation. Praise God. We get so lazy. The Laodicean spirit is so lazy, so self-serving, so interested in pleasures and easy living. And under that Laodicean spirit, we forget the tremendous commission that we have as the bride of Jesus Christ. And we get content with good jobs and good homes and comfortable seats at church and gifts in the body and good song leaders and nice musicians and We get content in those things, and we forget that those things are all in the peripheral. Those are side effects of the word. But it's the word that gives us victory, amen? It's the testimony of this word. It's the revelation of this hour. It's what's been unlocked at the opening of the seals that is going to give us victory, amen? God did not send a prophet in this day so that we could have a better church than they had before. Or that we could finally get all the doctrines corrected. That's part of it. But it's not just for a correcting of doctrines. Amen. It's to bring the revelation that was under those seals. The mystery that's being revealed to the bride so that she can testify and be a true witness. And her witness will bring down the enemy.
Amen.
We want to use all kinds of things to defeat the devil. Try to use our willpower. Try to use all kinds of mechanisms. We get loud and we do this and we say things so brash and make threats to the devil. He doesn't move at your threat. He doesn't move at your noise. That's what the prophet of God told us. He doesn't move because you say, I'm making you move. What defeats him is the word. What came in this hour was the revelation of the word, the revelation of the mystery that's been in the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the thought that was in God's mind, the one thing he wanted to achieve all through the Bible. That is what's been given to the bride in this day for victory. We're not to get distracted by anything else, but stay focused on that. Amen. Dive into it, ingest it, love it. Pray for more revelation on it, because that's the victory. Prophet of God singing a song in 1965 at the end of the message, God's only provided a place of worship. He's singing a song, and while he's singing, some bright day, I'll go and see him. Some bright day, I'll go and see him on the other shore. Oh, what? Oh, won't that be a happy meeting? Word goes to word. He's injecting a thought now into the song. Won't that word goes to word? He's talking about this happy meeting on the other side, and he's starting to say the word is going to the word. The word in you and the revealed word of the day is coming together. God the word and the portion of the word that's alive in you has been quickened by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Word is coming to word. He's singing in time. Won't that word goes to word? Meeting. He's keeping up. And he says, when the bride goes up, word by word.
Amen.
What's causing her to rise? Revelation upon revelation. Word by word, she's rising up above the carnal things. He goes on singing, happy meeting on the other shore. Oh, that bright day may be tomorrow. And when he gets done, he says, you say, you mean that, Brother Branham? What's he referring to? The words he injected there. You mean that, Brother Branham? Yes, sir. When the Lutheran of that age, the Wesleyans of their age, the Pentecostals of their age, the true ones, not the denominationals, the Pentecostals, the one that added leaven, their denomination, they died. But this true word, moving on, see, just like Jesus said, at that day you'll know that I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. It's all the word. Then he starts singing, oh, won't that be a happy meeting when his sons are gathered to his gate. The word going to the word, the bride going up word by word. She's been going up, amen, through the feet and legs, through Luther, amen, through the Reformation, up through the hand. What she's been doing, she's been coming up word by word, amen. Do you think that'll stop now? No, she's still going up word by word. The revelation of this mystery, as it unfolds and gets deeper and richer and more clear, amen, what's it doing? It's taking Laodicea's hold and moving it away, amen. It's taking carnality and it's laying it down and bringing us into a spiritual reality that's all around us. It's moving us from dimensions. We're in a time of dimensional overlap. While most of the world is waiting for the rapture, we're in the rapture because the rapture started with a shout, amen? The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. What's that? A message to gather the people. Have you been gathered under a message, amen? Then you're part of the shout. You've been gathered in the shout. You're part of the voice testifying this word. The world's waiting for a rapture. You're in one. You're walking in it. They're waiting for a resurrection. You've been resurrected out of dead denominationalism. You've been caught up on high to meet your Lord in the air. When you heard this word, you rose up to meet it. But my body's still here. I don't care where my body is. If I can keep going there, my body's going to eventually have to catch up. We're in a dimensional overlap. You can look at time as a meat cleaver that I'm going to stay on this side until I know that this junction's came, and then I'll move to this side of rapture and resurrection and translation. I tell you, you'll never make it, amen, because one age blends into another age, and there's a dimensional overlap taking place, and you should be moving word by word out of this dimension into the next dimension. Your walk should be changing. Your prayer life should be changing. Your mind should be changing. Word by word, revelation by revelation, as we eat the book and testify, the accuser of the brethren should be losing ground. Amen. And you should be gaining ground. We're not here to wait for God to pull the lever. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So what am I sitting around waiting for? He's waiting on you, is what the prophet of God said. Amen. To take what he's given us. Yes. It's here. Amen. It's available. Right. To take it and eat it up, amen. And testify, prophesy again. He says, and God's only provided a place of worship. Now think, these men, why was they called and was put in this condition? These Pharisees, by Jesus said, in vain you worship me. Worship him, genuine worship, true worship from their hearts. In vain you worship me. Why? Teaching for doctrine their tradition of man. Therefore you make the commandments of God of no effect to the people. If I taught you a Methodist message, it would take no effect on you. This is bride time. If Moses taught the message of Noah, it would have taken no effect. If Jesus taught Moses' message, it would take no effect, because the predestinated seed are laying there that will only be watered by that type of water that's give for that seed. It won't grow any other condition. It must be the condition that grows it. We can't grow under Methodist doctrine, Pentecostal doctrine, Lutheran doctrine, you name it doctrine, any man-made doctrine. Amen. This seed was not meant to grow under man-made doctrine.
Amen. Amen.
This seed wasn't made to grow under anything that's been manhandled. But the seed of God that's in you was made to spring to life and grow under the unadulterated, pure, virgin word of God that's been restored back to the church in this day. It is the only thing that's the only condition that it'll grow in. Amen. So why don't we stay in the word so we can grow? Why don't we keep preaching the word so others can grow? In Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says, Hebrews 11 said, they could not be perfect without us. Hands and feet cannot be perfect without the brains, the knowledge, the head, and so forth. So you realize that God has been building his body, the body of his bride, the bride of Jesus Christ. He's been growing her up for the last 2,000 years, and he's growing her into the head. Let's look at this in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What he's doing, he's using the gifts that he sent down, and he's ministering through those gifts to build his body and bring it into the full stature of the measure of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So God, when he ascended on high, he sent gifts unto men, and he's been ministering through those gifts through seven church ages. And what has he been doing through seven church ages? He's been building a body into the perfect image of Christ. He's been bringing a body to the head, to grow into the head. And in birth pains, he says, the word must deliver the word bride church. The word must deliver the word bride church. How will a word bride church be delivered? By the word. If I want to bring birth, amen, if I want to birth a word bride, it depends on what you want to birth and how you'll birth it, amen. But if you want to birth a word bride, you can only birth a word bride by the word. So the word must deliver the word bride church. The church has got to be delivered out of her, a bride for Christ. Them that fell asleep in all ages will make up that bride that come out on the word, that they come out on, like your feet come to your head. She gets greater and more you have to have, and so forth. So he's saying, as this bride's been formed and this bride's been birthed, she's been coming out of the church, amen, and growing in the Reformation. And as she comes out, she's got to grow more from the feet to the arms to the head. And he says, she's got to get greater and more you have, and so forth. As the body grows up, so does the body of Christ grow up. And then finally, the head will come to it. The head of it now, if we notice, because it's all linked to the head does the turning, the pulling. So he says, as this body grows, the head will come to it. He says in Feast of the Trumpets, he says, there was three stages of it, as I said. The martyr's age of the martyr for it. Then the stage of the reformers, and the reformer's age went all the way through the Pentecostal age. And now the calling out time. This isn't the reformer's age. Now is the calling out time. Come out of all of it, my people. Now is the calling out time. When finished at Laodicean age, according to Revelation 10, the mystery of all the Bible would be known to the bride. Is that right? Revelation 10, bride called out by the word, Christ himself calling out the bride. Brother Branham wasn't calling out the bride. Christ himself was calling out the bride. The headship was coming to the body, and the headship was the word, and that word was calling out his bride. It was Christ calling out the bride. He says, let me read that again. He says, now, Revelation 10, listen close now. Bride called out by the word, Christ himself calling out the bride, making plain Hebrews 13:8 that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, does the same, is the same. And Christ is the mystery of God revealed. It says, now we see the promise being fulfilled. Christ, the true headship, going in, he stops, says, coming in his bride. Where's the true headship at? Christ, the true headship? He's coming in his bride, amen? It's the bride coming of Christ. Christ, the true headship, coming in his bride, doing the same works that he did at the beginning and making ready and fulfilling his word as he did at first in John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Then the head and the body are becoming one in works and in sign and in life. Vindicated by God himself through his promised word for the last day. He promised this in the last days. Now if you're spiritual, you'll catch it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he's in labor. He's in labor pains. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to bring forth the church. And that will. He says, I'm laboring and travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. What was the goal of Paul's ministry? To Christ be formed in you. Paul, as he laid the foundation, amen, he was the wise master builder. He laid a foundation, and he says, take heed how you build thereon. And the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ, and Paul, as the master builder, he laid the foundation. And what foundation did he lay? He laid the foundation as he's laboring to lay the foundation. What's the purpose? That Christ be formed in you, amen. Whatever this building of the church he's building, it's to be a habitation of Christ, Christ formed in it. That was the goal from the very beginning. In the invisible union, the prophet says, you remember when it went down and the grain began to ripen, that you find before the grain can ripen, everything in that stalk has to be dead.
Yes. Come on now.
The grain is going to be the original word come back to manifestation. But it's been carried through the church ages, through the stalk and the tassel and the shuck. But when it comes time for manifestation, everything else has to be dead. Nothing else will bring the victory. Nothing else will bring the right testimony that has Satan cast down. When we come to the end time, nothing else will work. What worked previously, the life has left it now and is in the grain. If it worked there, it's still here. This is no rejection of previous truths. All the previous truths in that life moved forward and is now in the seed. Everything in the stalk has to be dead. Hallelujah. Can't you see where we're standing? Life is in the grain again. What is it? Just exactly the same grain that went in the ground, the same Jesus and the bride form, same power, same church, same thing, same word. The same word sucked up through these and come out here and come to the head here, and all that life that come through here picked up its people. Now it's forming up into a head for the rapture. Amen. It's got to come to the head for the rapture. Amen. It's got to come to the full measure of the word. And this is what he says here in the first seal. He says, now, there's coming forth seven mysterious thunders. That's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through these seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. What's going to do it? The revelation of those seven thunders, amen, is going to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. So what he's saying, what we've collected, everything that we've built up through is the body's building up, through the reformer's age, through everything else. If there's something else that's got to take place to bring this rapturing faith, amen? And Brother Branham's coming to the first seal. He's coming to the opening now, the revealing of the thunders. And he's saying, what we got now won't work. So you take what you had before the seals. Just hang with me. The ministry, the tying together of loose ends. Brother Branham says, what we got now won't work. That's why Brother Branham's ministry, even his ministry all the way up, it was building a platform, it was laying down truth, tying together loose ends, restoring truth, restoring doctrine, bringing us all the way up to this point. But he says, what we have now is not enough. So that's why, as the bride of Jesus Christ, we have got to make the transition in 1963 if we're going to go to rapturing faith, if we're going to have the testimony, the word, the prophesying again that's going to bring down Satan's stronghold in heaven, that's going to cast him down as accuser of the brethren. We got to make the transition from 62 to 63. Is that what he said? Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's something we got to step farther. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept out of this earth. We find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. And questions and answers on the seals between the sixth and seventh seal. He gets a question. He says, have the seven thunders which equal the seven mysteries already been revealed? Were they revealed in the seven seals, but are yet not known to us as the thunders yet? Brother Matthew says, no. They were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about. What was the thunders about? The thunder was the thunder of God, the voice of God, amen, through a prophet to reveal what those seals were, what the mysteries behind the symbols were. And now he's coming and he's telling us, no, they were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about. It was revealed, the seven thunders that had uttered their voices, and no one could make out what it was. John knew what it was, but he was forbidden to write it. But the seventh angel, in the days of his sounding, the seven mysteries of the seven thunders would be revealed, and the seventh angel is the messenger of the seventh church age. And Brother Branham says, we got to go farther, amen? Where are we at when he comes to the seals? We've got to go farther. What we've got now wouldn't do it. If we're going to go to a rapture, we've got to go all the way to the head, amen? We've got the head has to come into the bride has to unite with the head. What is the head? It is the word, amen? The understanding, the revelation of the mystery of God that lays under those seals. He's got to preach the thunders, and when he preaches the thunders, he unlocks the mystery of the church. And when he unlocks the mystery of the church, he can now unlock the mystery of God. Because until you unlock the mystery of the bride form of Christ, you cannot unlock the full revelation of God. Because God is known in male and female. God is known in husband and wife. Amen. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, but Christ is revealed as Mr. and Mrs. So the revelation of the seven thunders have to unlock the mystery of the church through seven church ages. Amen. Through 2,000 years, the mystery of redemption of the Gentile woman. And when he unlocks that mystery, laying under that is the mystery of the whole book. And that's what we need for rapturing faith. That's what we need to be testifying of. That's what we need to be prophesying again. If we've missed that, we've missed the very thing that's giving us the victory in the end time. He says in the first seal again, he's, but think, now he wrote this, but when he started to write those other seven thunders, he said, don't write it. He'd been commissioned to write everything he'd seen, but when these seven thunders over in Revelation 10 under, he said, don't write them at all. They're mysteries. We don't know what they are yet, but my opinion, they'll be revealed right away. I say his opinion was right. He was in the first seal. He was in the midst of doing it. And when it do, it'll give faith for the rapturing grace for the church to move out. What means my move out? Listen, when Brother Branham's talking about this, he's talking about move out of the shuck, move out of the denominations, move out of the man-made. This will give them faith to move out, which what is the moving out? The moving out is the first part of the rapture, coming out of dead denominationalism and gathering together to the headship of Christ. That is the first part of the rapture. That's why under the seals, the thunders had to go to give rapturing faith. And rapturing faith would give them the faith to move out of the shuck, to move away from the man-made systems and move away from denominations and traditions of the fathers. And what are they doing? They're moving into the shout. Amen. They're moving to become the voice. It's the first part of the rapture. It's giving rapturing faith now. Amen. If you've had faith to move by the shout out of denominations and away from the shuck and been gathered to the headship and become one with Jesus Christ and become the voice, amen, of Christ in you, you're already moving in the rapture. You've received rapturing faith to begin a rapturing cycle. We say we want to wait for something else and wait for something else. Brother Bram said, this is it. This is the something else. The revelation that's in those seven thunders is the something else. And the revelation of the entire Bible laying under those seven thunders is the rest of it. It is the mechanism. It is what gives you faith to move out. What else are we waiting for? Another prophet? Another great man with another great revelation? Somebody else? He's already given it to us, friends. We have to take what the prophet said and believe it and let the revelation of those seven thunders, which peeled open the seven seals, which revealed the mystery of God, let it give you rapturing faith to move with a shout and be gathered together to the message of the hour. Become one with Christ. Get caught up to meet him outside of Laodicea. Get caught up to meet him in the air and be seated with him in heavenly places. He says in the message, the rising of the sun. So there he spoke to me. He said, the seven seals will be open. The seven mysteries, sevenfold mysteries of the Bible that's been closed up since the foundation of the world will be revealed. And we, yet a humble little group compared with all the world, we've enjoyed these blessings. Hearing these mysteries, marriage, divorce, serpent seed, all those different questions has been completely revealed to us. Not by man, but by God himself. That's opened these seven mysteries of what the church was, how it was in Christ at the beginning, and how it would be revealed in the last day. Did you get what he said the opening of the seven mysteries revealed? The opening of the seven mysteries revealed, he said, open those seven mysteries of what the church was, how it was in Christ at the beginning, and how it will be revealed in the last day. That was what was laying in those seven thunders, the mystery of redemption. And when he gave the mystery of redemption to the Gentile church, he also showed the mystery of redemption for the Jews in the fifth seal. He showed the redemption of the earth in the sixth seal. It was the mystery of redemption, showing what would happen to the Gentile bride and showing what would happen at the end time. And he had to do that and peel the mystery off of that, because underneath those seals was the mystery of the entire Bible. And that mystery was God becoming tangible. The mystery was the becoming God. Mystery of the whole Bible. That's what gives us rapturing faith. To move out, to raise up out of dead denomination, be resurrected out of the deadness of Laodicea. To hear the eagle scream and be caught up quickly to meet it in the air. These are all things Brother Bam told us happens at the hearing of the revelation of the word. That's for us. Colossians chapter 1. Let's turn there together, please. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Brother Bram says in Things That Are To Be, says if we are those attributes of God, we cannot live by creeds. We cannot live by denominationalism. We must live by the word, because the bride is part of the bridegroom, like any wife is part of her husband. Therefore, we must be the word bride. And what is the word bride? The manifestation of this hour. The bride, not a creed or a denomination, but a living oracle of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. A living oracle of God. What is the manifestation of this hour? The bride. What is the bride? A living oracle of God. A living attribute of God. Displaying to the world the attributes of God in the formation of the bride that's to be expressed in this hour that we're now living. He says, in modern events made clear by prophecy. So now he said, I'll meet them in one place, the place I put my name. That's in Christ, in Jesus Christ. That's where God put his name. That's the only place he'll meet you, and it's Christ, is the word, the same yesterday. It's grown from the feet, the thighs, and now it's in the head, fixing to go. Manifesting in full measure the bride, the same as the groom. As it's fixing to go, what's the manifestation? As it's fixing to go, it's manifesting the manifestation of the bride. And we have an accuser of the brethren that has a place in the heavenly realm accusing the brethren, but his place will not remain forever. Prophet said, when she goes up, he comes down. And the Bible says that they overcame him. Who? The brethren that he had been accusing. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So now, when we look at the revelation of the seven thunders, revealing the seals, what the church is and what she was and how God redeemed her and the mystery of who she was in Christ from the very beginning, and Christ is the mystery of God revealed, revealing the whole mystery. Now when that mystery, amen, comes to a revelation in your heart and you don't see it as a mystery, you see it as your story. It's not a mystery anymore. It's you, amen. It's your life. It's your story. It's your testimony. It's who you are. It's your identification, amen. That headship, amen. That cloud that appeared is no longer a cloud that appeared. That was my headship. Where was he coming? He was coming to unite with me. It's not a story, amen. It's not a picture on a wall. It is me. It's my life. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Paul was laboring till Christ be formed in me. And now the accuser of the brethren accuses you. And now what do you say? You say, now we have the devil's answer. We have the devil's answer. It's not me, it's him. It's the resurrected Christ. He's coming back with the word. It's the word, it's not me. It's the mystery that's laying under the seals. It's the mystery of the entire Bible. Amen. He just revealed to me, I'm part of it. It's not me, it's him and me. But you're this and you're that. That's not what's laying under the seals for me, Mr. Devil. But you're this and you were born of that and you've always done that. But that's not what was revealed under the mystery to me. Amen. When the seals opened to me, I saw my name in the book. I heard my name called. I recognized I was part of this mystery from before the foundation of the world. And you say I'm a washout. You say I'm a hypocrite. You say I'm no good. You say I'm defeated. But I say I'm part of this mystery. My revelation, I can no more be lost than God can be lost, because I was with him before the foundation of the world. I've come from God. I'm going to God by a revelation that was laying under the seals for me. I tell you, that's the testimony that will bring him down, friends. That and that alone is the revelation and the testimony of the bride that will cast him down. Not saying, I was sick and now I'm healed. The Pentecostals can do that. There's got to be something more, amen. Something when Brother Branham came to the seals in 1963, says what we got now, he had a restoration of the gifts, had a tying together of loose ends, had an explanation of the church ages, but there's got to be a deeper mystery to bring you rapturing faith so that you can fly above all these denominations and fly above all of this to where you can get into the real revelation, above amnesia, above all of this stuff, till you can fly so high you can say, I remember where I came from. But you're that. No, 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 no. That was on my birth certificate. That's just flesh. That's not who I am. Do you remember when you did this and you remember when you did that? Remember when you said that? Oh, you say, but that's now. I've been washed by the water of the word. All the filth and everything's been washed away from me. I've been redeemed, amen. The Redeemer has come. He's not still back there redeeming. Now he's here claiming, and I'm part of what he claimed. He was there redeeming, redeeming through seven church ages, redeeming. But when he's done redeeming in the last church ages, now he steps forth to take the book and claim what he's redeemed. Now it's the claiming ministry. And guess who he claimed, Mr. Devil? He claimed me. Not by what I've done or not done, but by a revelation that came at the opening of those seals. By the revealing of the mystery that laid in that book that was bound up by those seven seals. When the seven seals come off, it opened up the entire Bible. Now I know who I really am. I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham, but I'm a son of God. I'm not the daughter of this name and that name, but I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. I'm not the person who lied and stole and cheated. Amen. That was the body I was trapped into of no fault of my own, the prophet says. But God's got a plan for that body too, and an absolute reformation, amen, when he's going to make it over in a glorified form. I'm not going to be attached to this. It's going to be changed. That spirit, that natural carnal spirit that I got, that always is lying to me and causing me to doubt, troubling my mind, making me nervous and forgetful and all of these things, that's going to go and be no more. But the reality of what laid under the seals of me is still there, and it's been awakened by the revelation in this hour. I tell you, friends, that's the testimony that'll bring him down. He says you're a liar, and you says the word says. You're no good, the word says. You haven't got it, the word says. And the accuser of the brethren is losing all his ammunition. He can't use your hybridization anymore. He can't use deception of church ages anymore. He can't use confusion on doctrine anymore. He's losing all his ammunition as these seals become more relevant and more real and more visible to us. He's losing more of his ammunition. If we will just lay claim to what's been given to us, if we will just speak what's on those tapes, if we'll just say what the prophet said, and we'll say it with faith, we'll believe it, amen, by a revelation of God personally to us, if we'll say it, he's losing ground, friends. Trust me, he's losing ground. And that's why this word came in this hour, not to be books on your shelf, not a picture on a wall, not a tape in your tape player or an SD card on your phone. That's not why it came. It came to unlock the mystery of who the church was, where she was in Christ all along, and what the mystery of God really is, so that you could rise to your position, so that you can move out in the resurrection. Amen. And now, if you'll give me 5 more minutes, I want to get into the second part of my title, the Father's business. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. I tell you, friends, I'm so excited to be alive. The devil's losing all his footing. Every lie is slipping. Everything he's told me through my life is now so apparently wrong to me. What I thought was true, I now recognize as his lie. What had me bound in my mind, I now see as deception. Why? Because the light of the gospel is shining that light down onto the truth, into the word, and it's pushing all the darkness away. And where he was working in obscurity, God is bringing revelation, and now clarity has no room for him to hide. He was hiding in the uncertainty of the rapture. He was hiding in the uncertainty of the bride. He was hiding in the uncertainty of the church ages. But that bright light has come to reveal all his hiding places, and now he can't hide there anymore. By what? By the revelation of this end time message has taken away his hiding places. And with no hiding, he can't launch out and deceive you anymore, because he has nothing to hide behind. Keep walking in the light, friends. Keep pressing into the word. This is not time to be a lazy Laodicean. This is time to be the bride of Jesus Christ. For the bride has made herself ready. She has taken this revelation and she's put it on. She has taken this book. She's ate it up. You know, when John came to the mighty angel and he said, "Give me the book," the mighty angel didn't pull his jaw down and throw it down into his throat. But he had to go to the angel. Because the voice said, "Go unto the angel and take the book." So he walked to the angel. Listen, God doesn't do everything. He leaves something for you to do so you can prove that you're the predestinated of God. We want to believe we're predestinated when God pulls our jaw down and throws it down in our throat, chomps it shut, and says, "Now you're it." That's not how it works, friends. He does it by saying, "This is it. Do you want it? This is it. Do you want it?" Amen. Because if you're part of him, you want it. You want it. You want it so bad. You want more of it. When you taste it, you got to taste it again. It's a revelation of who we really are. He comes to the mighty angel and he says, "Give me the little book." And the angel doesn't say, "Well, let me package it for me, hold out your hand." The angel says, "Take it." Can you get it? How long have you pursued that little book? Wretched for it and wretched for it again. Why? Because you wanted it. Because you wanted it. When you got a hold of that little book, he says, "Now, eat it up." The term eat it up doesn't just mean take a bite. Eat it up means to eat it all. This revelation that's come, eat it up. Eat it all. And if you eat it all, it'll be in your mouth sweet as honey, but in your belly it'll be bitter. Listen, when John takes the book, before he eats it, he knows what it's going to do to his belly. And the apostle Paul, before he enters the ministry, is told what great things he must suffer. Peter, before he entered his ministry, is told that at the end he will not be able to lead himself, but his hands will be outstretched, showing what manner of death he'll die. But there's something about a predestinated seed of God, amen. There's something about the prize that makes the obstacles worth it. There's something about him that makes the hazards worth it, amen. There's something about our God, amen, having him, knowing him, tasting him, that makes the hazards, that makes the difficulties, that makes the bitterness worth it. And he can tell you beforehand, you're gonna suffer, and you'll say, I'll suffer anyways if that's you. Because all my life I've wanted you. Now Luke chapter 2. Verse 46. Luke 2 and 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. This is Jesus at 12 years old when he's left in Jerusalem. They travel 3 days, they can't find him, they come back to find him, and here he is disputing and talking with the scholars. Verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee with sorrowing. And he saith unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? Jesus says a young manifested word. I say it that way so you can identify. Jesus is a young manifested word. He's a manifested word. You're a manifested word. His mother, the old church, comes to him and gives him the wrong identification. And he corrects her and says, she denied the virgin birth. She denied who he was, that he was Christ, that he was the word made manifest in his day. The church was giving a wrong identification, but he corrected her. He said, no, you're not, that I must be about my father's business. What was Jesus doing that was his father's business? He was breaking the word. So what is the father's business? To break the word. You see, Jesus wasn't doing dynamic things. He wasn't doing miracles. All of those were to attract the attention of the people so that he could break the word, so that they could come to the breaking of the word. In Brother Branham's day, all the dynamic things that he was doing, amen, was to attract the attention of the people, amen, in the first and second pool, so they get hooked in the third pool, and the third pool was the revealing of the word. So now he says, knew you not, I must be about my father's business. And Brother Branham says in 1965, the seed is not air with the shuck. He says, notice there will be no more carrier, mother churches, denominations after this carrier shuck. Because after the shuck, there is no more, nothing left by then but just the grain. Is that right? It's got to be the grain. It's got to be the same kind that went into the ground. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. A spirit come upon the bride to do the same thing that he did. It's the reproducing again of the grain. Right? The word, yet young, spake for itself. And know not that I must be about my father's business? There is the secret of the message now. What's the secret of the message? There is the secret of the message now, just exactly the Father's business. What's the secret of the message? that I must be about my Father's business. Not my idea, not my business, what I think ought to be done, what looks good, what makes me look good, what makes me popular, but what I must be about. Now, the secret of the message is the Father's business. Then he says, what is the Father's business? Could you think of what the Father's business was in him? To fulfill what Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. Fulfill what Isaiah said again, the lame shall leap like a hart. And all these things would take place, like Moses said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet among you like unto me. It was the Father's business to fulfill that word. Well, if that come down through them stalks of them natural women, what about these stalks of these spiritual church women? Churches means women, women means churches rather, is that right? Then what is it now? That's the question. What is the Father's business now? We must be about the Father's business. The wheat would cry back, the grain. Yes, sir. What must it do? Vindicate Malachi 4. How do I vindicate Malachi 4? Malachi 4 was already vindicated. No, the prophet was vindicated. The vindication of Malachi 4 is a people who are actually turned back to the faith of the fathers. The vindication of Malachi 4 is you, amen? And that's the Father's business now, to be that word made manifest, to vindicate the ministry of Malachi 4. And the ministry of Malachi 4 is vindicated when you go back to the original faith of the Pentecostal fathers. To vindicate Malachi 4, vindicate Luke 17:30. What's vindicate 17:30? The revealing of the Son of Man. You're to vindicate the revealing of the Son of Man. I thought Brother Branham did that. Brother Branham did it just to join the head and the body together in a marriage. To do what? To reproduce the Son of Man again. In what form? In bride form. Not here to repeat what Brother Branham did. Brother Branham said you didn't all have to be Moses. There was one Moses. They had to receive Moses' message. Vindicate Luke 17:30. What is it? It's the revealing of the Son of Man. How is he being revealed? He's being revealed in bride form. Vindicate Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same life, same works, same spirit, same everything. What he has always been, she is to be now. What has he always been? He has always been the anointed word for the day. He was the rock that followed Moses through the wilderness. Is that true? He was the pillar of fire that led him. He was the cloud that led him. So I'm supposed to be a cloud? No, that was the manifestation of the word for their day. Christ was what? The reproach of Christ is what Moses bore to leave Egypt and go after his people. So I have to go to Egypt and leave. No, it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is Jesus Christ? The anointed word for the day and season. That's what the bride is to be. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What the rock is, I'm to be. What the cloud was, I'm to be. To vindicate St. John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also. He only did that which the Father showed him. Not his own works, but his Father's works. To vindicate all of his word, vindicate Hebrews. I mean Revelation's the 10th chapter of the opening of the seals and the mysteries of God, even to serpent seed, and all would be manifest in marriage and divorce and all these other mysteries that's been hid under the pillars for all these years from the theologians and so forth, but is now the hour. That's the Father's business. No matter what you thought it was before, throw it out the window. This is what a prophet told us. This is the secret of the message today, to be about the Father's business. And I want a testimony that'll defeat the enemy. What is your testimony? Your witness before a judge. I witness that this word is true. I stand as a witness that there's a power to change a life, that there's a power to quicken a seed. I stand as a witness that this word will change a life. I stand as a witness that this word will raise you out of Laodicea and bring you into the presence of Jesus Christ. I stand as a witness. Let my voice go on record as a witness against the accuser of the brethren that I've been washed under the water of the word. I've been anointed by the anointing of the word in this day, and I believe this word to be every bit the truth. Let me testify. The devil says, but I say. By a witness, by a revelation of Jesus Christ, that this is the truth. I'm here to vindicate. Hebrews 13:8. Show me your signs, Chad. If you can't see the bride coming, it's not my fault. If you can't see a life surrendered in humility, if you can't see your brothers and sisters walking in the Father's business, if you can't see your brothers and sisters yielding daily to the word, submitting and surrendering to the leadership of the word, giving up old things, casting away wrong decisions and choosing the right way, continually growing in the revelation and growing in the character of Christ. If you can't see the bride coming of Christ, it's not my fault, but it's Hebrews 13:8 just the same. If you can't see Luke 17:30 in this day, it's not my fault, but I want to be a witness and say, I see it, amen? I see it in my brothers and sisters. I see it in a surrender to the word. I see it in a lives that are being changed. I see it in young people, amen, not running to the world and not toying with the things of the world, but committing themselves to God and to the word of God. I can see it. Do you see the vindication of Malachi 4? I am vindicating Malachi 4. Because I believe what Paul believed, and I believe what Peter believed. I've been returned to the faith of the Pentecostal faith. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I want my testimony to match this revelation that was under the thunders. Because what we had before that wasn't enough. But since that time, it's been enough to move us out into the rapture. To catch us up out of Laodicea. To move us out of dead denominations and resurrect us into newness of life. Since that time, it's been enough. If it's been enough to do that, it's enough to finish the job until the very atoms in this body of mine change. What he's done, he's doing. What he's doing, he'll do. Amen. And there's a vindication going on in this day. That's the Father's business. Not to use our own mind and our own will and our own desires, but to yield to that word. And surrender to the revealed word and let the word bring its own life. And let that life have preeminence in us and let that life live its own life out from us. Go to Galatians chapter 1. I'll read this last scripture. Musicians, you can come. Brother Blake, you can come as well. Galatians 1 and 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the new birth? The revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. This is not a repeat message. I heard the preacher say, I repeat it. That doesn't work. It has no life. I heard a good preacher and he tied together the doctrine. I think I understand what the mystery under the seals were. That's a repeat ministry. That's not the true ministry. But the true ministry is when God comes down and makes it real to you. When you see the mystery underneath the mysteries, when you see the mystery of God laying under those seals, when you can identify it and say, I'm part of it, amen, there's something that changes, amen. Now it's not a repeat ministry, it's an original ministry. And it's not here to please man. It's not here to satisfy men. But if you've ever come to that real revelation like the Apostle Paul did, you're not here to please men. Your gospel's not here to please men, because if you're here to please men, you cannot please Christ. But if you come under this revelation, there's only one thing that matters, and that's this word, and that's this truth that's been given to us today. And it's quickening us, it is changing us, it is rapturing us, it is resurrecting us, and it is bringing us into the position he's always wanted us to be in. It's the under the revelation, the true revelation, that's the only thing that matters. I didn't receive this of man. But didn't you listen to the tapes? I listened to tapes. I read the quotes, but I did not receive this of man. I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was Christ speaking through that man. It was Christ speaking through the ministry. It was Christ laying on those tapes, but it wasn't the hearing of this ear that brought the revelation. It was a hearing of a different set of ears down here that quickened the seed to life. And I said, that's nothing but the truth, not intellectually, but in reality. What takes place in your mind will fade away, but what takes place in your soul will be eternal. Never received this by man, was not taught this by man. That's why we preach, because it's the foolishness of preaching that saves souls. I'm not here to teach you the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm here to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if I'm faithful to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ, Christ is faithful to quicken the revelation in your heart. And then the mystery, the secret of the message is to do the Father's business, to manifest the promised word for this day. And the manifestation of the promised word in this day is Jesus Christ returning, the headship coming in the bride moving into the expression of the head, the fullness of the word on display in a many-membered body. The very character, nature, life of Jesus Christ expressed in his bride. That's the day you and I were chosen to live in. What's it going to require? A surrender. A revelation and a surrender. I say if God's given you the revelation, what's your part? The surrender. He can supply the revelation, but only you can supply the surrender. Is that true? He's given the blood of the Lamb, but you must provide the testimony. He can give the power of the Holy Ghost to be a witness, but those who are disciples are the ones that had to go and open their mouth in obedience. God can give the Holy Ghost, but you have to give the yielding to the Spirit to open your mouth, and you have to be the witness. He can give the blood, you have to give the testimony. He can give the revelation, but you have to speak. What is salvation? When you believe in your heart and believe in your heart unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. God has faithfully done his part. And I say, God, help me to faithfully do my part. Because I want to see the accuser of the brethren cast down. Can I read one more scripture? Revelation. Chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. What's going to cause the heavens to rejoice? Because there was a people on the earth who did not love their lives to death, and that would give a true testimony. Do you realize that the action of the bride at the end time will cause a rejoicing in heaven? Amen. Because the accuser of the brethren has been cast down and he's not there anymore. And why is he not there? Because the end time bride will say the word and stand by the word and the word only. She'll give a true witness and a true testimony, and he'll be cast down. And the admonishment in the scripture was, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, the cherubim, the seraphim, the heavenly host. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. When the bride goes up, he comes down. So what that makes you is an inhabitant of the heavenlies, not an inhabitant of the earth. Yes. Sony says, rejoice, ye heavenlies, and all those that inhabit them. That's you. When you get there, and the full measure and the full revelation after the full catching away, he won't be there. And you won't be the only one rejoicing. Every other part of the heavenly host that God created to worship him in the heavenlies will be rejoicing as well, because he's not there. And he's not there because there was brethren who, although they were accused, they would testify. They would testify of the true word revealed in their day. And finally, that testimony would bring an ultimate victory, and all of heaven will rejoice. That's the moment I'm living in. That's the time I'm living for. Let's all stand. Oh, this word is good, friends. And you never know what God's going to say on a Wednesday night. Don't skip church. God is so good to us. This is the greatest day to be alive. No time like this time. This is the time. This is the last moments. These are the last strokes, the last blows, the last testimonies, the last confessions. This is it. This is the time to be alive. I don't want to miss it being lazy, and I don't want to miss it chasing rabbits and getting distracted. I want to be tuned in, because this is the time. It's going to cause a rejoicing in heaven. Oh, God is good. Peter, if you'd like to make it around back, and whoever wants to go around back with you can go. Brother Bob, if you want to get around there and get ready, we'll have a baptismal service. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Oh God, thank you just doesn't even seem like enough, Lord. To say thank you is just words, Lord, coming off of frail human lips. But God, you know it's coming out of the depths of our heart. How can we ever thank you enough for revealing this word to us? For peeling back the seals, for thundering out the thunders, Lord, for showing us the mystery, your mystery. And on top of all of that, Lord, you showed us our part in the mystery. We weren't just looking as spectators at the unfolding of the word, but as the mystery unfolded, we saw a threefold revelation. When we saw a threefold revelation, we were directed to the second fold of that threefold revelation. And we were told that the second fold is your preeminence in us. And as we saw the unveiling of you, God, as you were unveiling yourself and unveiling your plan, unveiling your revelation, you were showing us that we've always been part of that mystery. Oh God, what a privilege. What a privileged people we are. Of all human beings that have ever walked the earth, I feel the luckiest, Lord, the most blessed, the most, Lord. I just cherish this revelation. Help us, God, not to be lazy, and let us not lose it. Let it not fade away. But Lord, let it always be precious to us. May we always dig and strive and reach out. Surrender, Lord, and give more to you than we've ever given before, and feed more on this book than we've ever fed. May it become more of a living reality in us. May you move through us and testify through us and use us for your glory. For you've called us to prophesy again. Let us be faithful in that calling. God, we love you. We ask that you bless your people. As we go from here, Lord, keep us, direct us, guide us. For we need you, Lord. Every hour we need you. But you've called us to this hour. You've called us to this battle. You've called us to this time. Let us be diligent, God. We love you and give you first place, and ask that you keep opening your word to us. Keep rubbing the eye salve in our eyes and giving us clearer vision day by day, hour by hour, that we might have the victory. Oh, we love you, and we ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus Christ's name.
We have overcome, we have overcome by the words of our mouth, by the blood of the Lamb.
is a privilege that I'm glad that God has afforded me. When John called and said, Peter was kind of out of sorts. And he said, and maybe a little disobedient, I guess I could say that. And he said, he called Peter, they got alone and says, what's going on? And he burst into tears. He said, I got to get baptized. I didn't promise that I wouldn't cry, but I'm rejoicing. Sal, are you rejoicing? Hallelujah. Because this is the prayer that we pray for all of our grandkids. And it's manifest. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. Why can't we? We want to thank God for this opportunity. I want you to grab your wrist like this, and then I'll pull you up with that. You can cover your nose if you want to. Father, we just commit this commitment to you. We thank you that you've drawn and that you've drawn. You've drawn us all, Lord. We're standing here drawn by the Holy Ghost, chosen by you. And we believe, Lord, that you've chosen Peter Benjamin in this hour. In Jesus Christ's name. Now, Peter Benjamin, because you've given your heart to the Lord and you've surrendered to his will, and it's on that testimony that I indeed count it a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, you've promised, Lord, to fill Peter with the Holy Ghost. We put his name in there because he's obedient to your word. And you promised that you would give the Holy Ghost baptism. And we ask that you'd fill him with the Holy Ghost and let him walk in newness of life. Brother Branham said that this was an outward expression to an inward work. And we rejoice in both the outward expression this evening and the inward work that only the Holy Ghost can do. We commit it to you, and commit Peter Benjamin Brooks to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Worthy, you are worthy, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy. Thank you. mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy, it rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but it rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Let my life be all forsaken, let my word of God guide me on my way, so He can have preeminence each day. Give me more revelation, let my life be your reflection, for I know this word is my redemption. Give me more revelation, give me more revelation, let my flesh be all forsaken, that the word of God guide me on my way, so He can have preeminence each day. Give me more revelation, let my life be your reflection, for I know this word is my redemption. Give me more revelation, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast prayer.